Hello and welcome to the International Soccer Podcast by Canada Soccer Files. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Connor, and today we will be discussing Group E.
Yes, we'll be doing a group-by-group preview of Euro 2020, and within that, a team-by-team overview. And we will do an overview of the players, but we're still considering a deeper dive podcast into that, so it'll just be kind of a superficial overview here.
We have three parts. Part one, we will begin with an overview of the group, looking at the rankings, the odds, the head-to-head records, and the comparison of each size of the country.
That's right. And part two is kind of the long part of the podcast. Then we're going to do a team-by-team overview. That'll be looking at their long history, their recent history, their qualifying record for this cup, and a brief overview of their players.
And then finally, part three will end with a discussion of each team's prospects and our predictions.
All right. Tell me about your shirt today, Connor.
Well, I've dug deep into my closet and into history by pulling out this green Germany shirt. It's an away kit from 2001.
Okay. And even though it appears I'm wearing the same Brazil shirt that I wore in a previous podcast, this is actually a stand-in for an Australian shirt that your dad bought for me in England, in London, as a birthday gift. But, you know, I can't find it.
Yellow and green still works.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so there are our four teams, Spain, Poland, Sweden, and Slovakia. Let's do a quick overview of that.
Sure. I'll start with Spain. They're three-time winners of this competition and were back-to-back champions in 2008 and 12, with the World Cup victory sandwiched in between that. They exited at the round of 16, though, in the last Euro tournament.
That's right. Okay, Poland are competing in their fourth straight Euro Cup competition. They're coming off their best ever performance at a Euro Cup in 2016, where they reached the quarterfinals.
Sweden have been regular qualifiers for the Euros this century, but have only managed to pass the group stage once in that time.
All right. And Slovakia, which is formerly part of Czechoslovakia, are making their second ever appearance at the Euros, having made their debut in the last one in 2006. Take us on to rankings, Connor.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. So starting with Spain, Spain are currently sixth in the FIFA rankings and fourth according to ELO. Again, just two different ranking systems, one the official version for FIFA and the other ELO, another ranking system that, as we've said before, we found to be a little bit more reliable. Spain reached number one in the world, according to both ranking systems, following their European Championship victory in 2008, and stayed either first or second for each of the next 5 years, when they really were the undisputed best team in the world at that time.
They did move up from 12th in 2006 and, as you say, stayed first for a long time during a period that I'm going to call their dynasty, where they qualified for three cups in a row.
Yeah, they did drop outside the top 10 in FIFA rankings, actually, in June 2017, but they've never dropped quite that low in the ELO ranking system, at least in recent years. Poland, they are 19th in the world according to FIFA and 21st in ELO, so very similar. They were as high as 6th in FIFA rankings in June 2017 at a time when Spain was 11th. But ELO has never put them higher than 13th. Poland have moved up and down over the years, their lowest point over the past two decades coming in December 2013, when they were 76th, according to FIFA, and 53rd in ELO.
Yeah, that's quite a big difference. Can you tell us a little bit about the one in brackets there, 8th among participants at the time of the draw?
Yeah, so the way UEFA ranked teams for this tournament was based on their records in qualification. There were 24 teams. So the top six became the pot one teams, the next six pot two, and so on. Poland were the eighth best team according to their qualification records. And so that has landed them in pot two. Unusually for this tournament, the pots were not formed on FIFA rankings, but were based on qualification records.
Yeah, basically a UEFA ranking based on their qualification.
Yeah.
That explains why Poland and Sweden are pretty similar in the FIFA and ELO ranking systems, were quite far behind in the UEFA ranking system, which put them into these groups.
Yeah. I'll talk about that. So Sweden are 20th, according to both systems. Interestingly, this put Sweden one place behind Poland in the FIFA rankings and one place above Poland, according to ELO. So what do you think, Kevin? Do you see these two teams as neck and neck?
We'll get into that, but I say nothing right now.
All right. Well, keep it for later on. Sweden have fluctuated a lot over the years, particularly in the slightly more volatile FIFA rankings. More often than not, they're ranked a little higher in the ELO ranking system. In ELO, they reached 10th in December 2012 and haven't been outside the top 30 since June 2009.
Okay, and how about Slovakia there in pot four?
Slovakia are 33rd in the world according to FIFA and somewhat lower at 44th in ELO. They've had some good periods in their history, but actually have dipped a bit recently and are at their lowest point in both ranking systems since July 2014, when they were around 50th in both systems. So they rose quickly, but then have kind of been on a bit of a slow decline since then.
Yeah, it seems like the FIFA rankings fluctuate quite a bit more than the ELO rankings.
Yeah, we found that to be the case. I think FIFA using a bit of a shorter timeline when reviewing teams.
Yeah, so I find the ELO rankings a bit more consistent. So we have actually Spain in fourth, Spain in fourth place. Yeah, second is Sweden in 20th, third is Poland 21st, and fourth is Slovakia 44th. And I worry I cut you off there, Connor.
No, I was just going to say the same things. So based on the ELO and the FIFA rankings, it looks like the way this group is going is a battle for second, but we will talk about that later.
I know nothing. Let's go to the odds. Take us through that, can you?
Sure. Just as a brief overview, the odds makers pretty much agree with the world rankings. Spain are favorites to win the group. Poland and Sweden, very, very similar. Poland given the slight edge by some. Slovakia then are a bit of an outsiders to win the group. And those odds, again, to finish first in this group, but not necessarily to advance.
Right. And we should say that the odds sometimes do change as the tournament approaches and as, for example, players may get injured or stuff like that. So these are just kind of at the time we last checked.
Yeah. Do you want to go through the head-to-head records?
You betcha. Okay, so no surprise that Spain has a better record than everyone. But actually, second is Sweden, who have better records than Poland and Slovakia. And surprisingly, Slovakia have a better record than Poland, too. Let's look at some of the details there. Basically, Spain and Poland, believe it or not, Connor, didn't meet since 1960.
Really?
Yeah. Even though both of them have been fairly regular in these cups.
Yeah, that's a long time. And that I see was in Euro Cup qualifying.
The very first one, actually. In Spain and Sweden, Spain has a record of 4-1-2. So not that convincing. But in recent times, they've won the last three of the last four. However, in their last game in 2020 Euro qualifying, this one, they tied in Sweden. So Otherwise, they met in the group stage in 1978, where Spain won 1-0. Okay, I'll move on to Spain and Slovakia. Not much to talk about there, or is there? Actually, Slovakia was one of the very few teams to actually beat Spain in a qualifying campaign, and they did that in 2016. They also tied them in a UEFA playoff for the 2006 World Cup, but that tie came after Spain had won the first leg 5-1, so probably Spain not really that motivated there, and they have the better overall record.
Yeah, interesting. Slovakia being a much newer country, being part of Czechoslovakia for so long, that they've actually played Spain more times than Poland has, for example.
The Poland one is pretty unbelievable. They're both very old teams. Moving down to Sweden and Poland, another surprise is that Sweden have won 6 of their 7 meetings, and Poland just the first one, which was the 1974 World Cup second group stage, which is almost like beyond the pretty much quarterfinals now. We're going to see that was a good period for Poland. Otherwise, Sweden has won all 6 of their last meetings, but they haven't met since 2004.
I'll note that Poland haven't even scored a goal in Sweden in the last 5 meetings.
Wow, that is true. Yeah, I didn't notice that, actually. Sweden and Slovakia is just one meeting in 2002 World Cup qualifying, and Sweden bested Slovakia. So they tied in one game and Sweden won the other. And then Slovakia and Poland, surprisingly, Poland won their first meeting 5-0, and that was in Slovakia. But Slovakia have won. No, sorry, that was in Poland. Slovakia have won the next 3 meetings, including 2 games in 2010 World Cup qualifying. So a bit of a surprise there that Poland is second in the group, but they don't have a better head-to-head record with any of these teams.
Yeah, that is interesting.
All right, let's move on to just take a quick look at the countries here, the size and population. Tell us about Spain, Connor.
Yeah, Spain are the largest country in this group. They have 47 million people. They're the 7th largest UEFA member as well. Moving on to Poland. Poland are actually not far behind. They're next in size. They have 38 million people, so about 10 million less. Than Spain. There's 10 million fewer than Spain. And they are the 9th largest country in Europe.
Okay.
Sweden, along with Finland and I suppose Russia too, are one of the most northern countries to be competing. They are the largest of the Scandinavian countries. They have 10 million people in total. So that's only about a quarter of what Poland has, and about a fifth of Spain. So the size comparison kind of drops off after those first two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Slovakia are the smallest country. They have 5.5 million people, so about half of Sweden. Slovakia forms the eastern part of the former Czechoslovakia, and Slovakia made up about a third of that of Czechoslovakia's population. Slovakia are also neighbors to Poland. They have a long border on Slovakia's northern side and Poland's southern side.
Okay, great. And let's just, should we take a look at nicknames? Or I thought we were going to maybe move this to a different place.
Yeah, we'll talk about the nicknames when we go to the teams. It's something I can mention as we go through.
Okay, so let's move on to the part 2 of the podcast, which is a team-by-team review.
Yeah, and we'll start with Spain.
Okay.
Or La Roja, the red ones, or La Furia Roja, the red fury. I've heard both of those in reference to Spain.
Great. Okay. Well, we're going to start by looking at their World Cup history. So their only real success before winning the 2008 Euro Cup came early. sorry, I'm going to start again, came in the early years of both the World Cup and the Euro Cup. They finished fourth in the World Cup in 1950, and they won the Euro Cup in 1964 when they hosted. Sorry, this is not the World Cup yet. This is kind of a bit of an overview of the whole team. So ironically, though, it was in the early years when they, in both of these, where they suffered non-qualifications. They didn't regularly qualify for the World Cup until 1962, but then they did so every time after that, except for missing twice in the 1970s. In the Euro Cup, they only qualified once before 1980. That was their 1964 win as host. After that, Spain made it every time after 1980, except once in 1992. So Spain's claim to fame was a dominant period, a dynasty, given the team didn't change much during that period, from 2008 to 2012, where they won three tournaments in a row. That's the Euro Cup in 2008, the 2010 World Cup, and then the 2012 Euro Cup. This is a feat that no other team has achieved.
Does that include South American teams winning their domestic cups and World Cups as well?
Oh, good.
Europe.
Good point. I would have to check into that, to be honest. But definitely, no South American team has won the World Cup twice in a row. Now I'm getting doubtful about myself because Brazil might have.
Certainly, though, in Europe, Spain's dominance has been unmatched in terms of tournament wins compared to any other team.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we can check into that and verify. But nevertheless, it was an amazing achievement. Okay, now we're going to go straight to the World Cup. So they started with mixed success. They were fairly weak until 1982, but have been really consistent since then. A quarterfinal finish in 1934 meant only that they beat Portugal in qualifying, a 9-0 win in the first leg there. And then they beat Brazil in the first game of that 1934 Cup. 3-0 was a good result, but the Cup being in Europe was a huge advantage to all the European teams. They withdrew in 1938 because of the Spanish Civil War, but they came back in 1950 to qualify over Portugal again and win all games in the group stage, including knocking out the mighty England. Brazil avenged them in the second game, in the second group stage, thumping them 6-1. That began a middling period where Spain either failed to reach the cup, or if they did, they failed to pass the group stage. This changed with their hosting of the World Cup in 1982, and Spain began a long streak, not only of reaching the cup, but of passing the group stage. Let's continue by looking at their qualifying. Their impressive qualifying record shows them finishing first in their qualifying group in every World Cup with the exception of 2006. Indeed, following a loss to Denmark in the 1994 campaign, they have not lost a qualifying game since then. Can you believe that?
That's incredible. What a record.
Yeah, that's 26 years without a loss in World Cup qualification. 2006 was the only unconvincing campaign. They tied 5 of their 10 games and actually had to qualify through a playoff with Slovakia, who they meet here. Famously, they had a jinx at being stopped at the quarterfinals or earlier. They passed the first round every time since 1986, with the exceptions of 1998, but were stopped at the quarterfinals 4 times until eventually winning the World Cup in 2010. After that, they turned in a fairly weak performance, two fairly weak performances, really, stopped at the group stage in 2014 and at the round of 16 in 2018.
Well, that leads nicely into what I was going to talk about, just a little bit of their recent history. Of course, they won the World Cup in 2010 thanks to an extra time goal by Andreas Iniesta. That was against the Netherlands. This was actually the first time a European team won the World Cup outside of Europe. Spain winning, of course, in South Africa in 2010. In 2014, they failed to pass the group stage, as you mentioned. They lost to Netherlands and Chile before winning just a consolation match against Australia. And then at the 2018 World Cup, they topped a very competitive group with Portugal, Iran, and Morocco. They tied 3-3 with Portugal in their opening match, where Ronaldo scored a hat trick. They then narrowly beat Iran 1-0 and then tied an already eliminated Morocco 2-2. But Spain were a bit fortunate because their equalizer came in the 91st minute.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, there's some great games in that Group B of the 2018 World Cup.
Yeah.
After advancing, Spain met host Russia in the round of 16. That was a game they were really widely expected to win. However, they tied 1-1 and went to penalties, where Spain missed two of their five spot kicks and crashed out of the tournament.
Yeah. Well, you know, nobody really expected them to keep up that first place finish. They were bound to kind of regress to the mean, hey?
Yeah, and so it's proved. You know, they had a bit of turnover after their last Euro win in 2012, and have kind of returned to a little bit of their kind of historical form.
That's right. Let's take a look at the Euro Cup. In the Euro Cup, they were disqualified in 1960. That was the first one, after refusing to travel to the USSR for a qualifying game. But then in the following one, in 1964, Spain won as the host, ironically beating USSR in the final. They failed to reach three cups after that, matching their indifferent World Cup record in this period. But they did reach the playoff round, the playoff rounds where they lost to England in 1968 and then West Germany in 1976. It was USSR, their old foes there, knocking them out in between in 1972. Spain's flat period lasted until 1992 in the Euro Cup, 10 years longer than in the World Cup. But it was punctuated by a second-place finish in 1984, where they were beaten in the final by host France. From 1996, they surpassed their strength in World Cup play by passing the group stage every time from 1996 onwards, with the exception of 2004, where they were knocked out in the first round by the two finalists, host Portugal and Greece. Otherwise, it seemed their quarterfinal jinx was at play until they won two tournaments in a row in 2008 and 2012. That combined with the World Cup win in 2010 made the period that I call the dynastic period. And as in the World Cup, they declined afterwards, reaching only the round of 16 in Euro 2016. Before you take us through the recent tournaments, I'll just talk a little bit about qualifying. Qualifying was less commanding in the Euro Cup, with 1996, 2012, and 2020 the only campaigns where they didn't suffer a loss. 1992 was particularly poor, losing games on the road, and in 2000 they opened the campaign with a loss in Cyprus, although they won all their games after that. They remain a real force at home, though, and not only going undefeated, but winning all games since a loss to Greece in 2004. And that loss to Greece foreshadowed Greece's successful 2004 Euro Cup win. So can hardly blame them for that. Hey, Connor?
Yeah, Greece had their number, beating them in the group stage and in qualifying.
Right, but yeah, they've won every home match in Euro qualification since.
Again, an incredible record.
Mm-hmm.
Spain are the only team in history to win back-to-back Euros. When they did that in 2008 and 12, they beat Germany and Italy's in the finals. They easily qualified in 2016, winning 9 and losing 1, but that loss came to Slovakia, who they meet here. being on the road, of course. At the tournament in 2016, they finished runners-up in their group to Croatia, but that set up a date with Italy, who avenged their loss in the final from 4 years earlier by beating them 2-0 to knock them out in the round of 16.
Yeah. So just some concluding comments. The dynasty we talked about had their tiki-taka style of passing the ball around in the midfield, which drove my mom crazy. That came crashing down in the 2014 World Cup with a shocking 5-1 loss to the Netherlands in their opener and then an exit at the group stage. But perhaps it had been foreshadowed by a humiliating loss to Brazil in the final of the 2013 Confederations Cup. So they have returned kind of to their jinx level of reaching the quarterfinal or less.
And it has been a little bit less recently. In the three tournaments, since the three tournaments that they won, they've actually failed to win an elimination match. Can you believe that?
What do you mean exactly? Like beyond the group stage?
That's correct. Yeah. They have got past the group stage, but they haven't won a game in the knockout round since their 2012 win in the Euro final.
Wow, that kind of puts it in a new perspective for me there. Let's take a look at their 2020 Euro qualifying. Again, that fabulous record, and this is not as good as many of them, but all wins at home, and then two ties with Norway and Sweden on the road. So they finished first with 26 points, Sweden a full 5 points behind. They meet Sweden here, and they also meet them in 2022 World Cup qualifying, so all sorts of games with Sweden recently.
All right, I'll talk a little bit about the Nations League. They've competed twice in League A. In the first edition in 2018-19, they finished behind England. But most recently, they won their group ahead of Germany, Switzerland, and Ukraine. That included a crushing 6-0 win over Germany in November 2020. So in the Nations League, they have advanced to the final four with Italy, Belgium, and France.
Right, and that little the competition for the champion takes place, is that in September or October this year?
It'll be in October of 2021 to determine the Nations League champion for 2021.
Right, and they have a friendly with Portugal coming up on June 4th.
That should be a good one.
Yeah, a pretty big team for a warm-up match there. Should we take... Oh, yes, World Cup qualifying for 2022?
Yeah, they started with an uncharacteristic draw at home to Greece, who are actually in quite a weak period of their history right now. They follow that up with wins against Georgia and Kosovo. They sit first in their group with 7 points from three games, 1 point ahead of Sweden, who have played a game less.
Right. So actually, Sweden could take advantage of that draw, that home draw against Greece. A bit uncharacteristic. It just seems like Greece has their number because that was the last team to beat them at home.
Yeah, it's an interesting little subplot there.
Yeah. Let's go down to their scorers for the 2020 Euro qualifying. And believe it or not, it's that seemingly immortal defender, Sergio Ramos. I think that guy has like 170 caps or something.
Yeah, scoring three goals or four goals for them in qualifying. Three of those were from penalties. He has become a bit of a penalty taker, both for Spain, but also for Real Madrid. I believe he scored 100 goals in his career with Real Madrid and Spain. So an incredible achievement for a defender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, you go right ahead.
I was just going to say second on the list, also with 4 goals is Rodrigo. He plays for Leeds and just came off a fabulous campaign with them in the Premier League. Also getting 4 was Alvaro Morata, who plays for Juventus.
Yeah, and Paco Alcacer, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but he seems to be a bit in and out with the team. I think he was their top scorer in a recent campaign, either 2014 or 2016, but they don't actually seem to favour him that much.
Oh, yeah.
No,
that's all right. Yeah, he has been in and out. I think Spain, I mean, we see on their scoring list, you know, over a dozen different scorers. And I think in qualifying, you know, they do use that to experiment with different players a little bit and give different people their opportunity. So, yeah, some people in and out of the squad or some people who have contributed to qualifying may find them out in the cold for the tournament.
Well, they have such an embarrassment of riches there. Let's take a look at 2022 scorers so far. And, yeah, we've seen a couple of the same names there, including Ferran Torres. I think he's new to that list.
Yeah, someone, he's 21 years old, playing for Manchester City. Another young player for Spain, but he has a very promising future, I believe.
Yeah. Okay, do you have anything more to add about Spain?
Just a couple comments. You did mention the immortal Sergio Ramos, but he's proven mortal indeed. He had a bit of an injury hit campaign with Real Madrid and has not been selected for Spain's team for the Euro 2020 tournament. So that's a bit of a surprise because he's been really ever present for them. But injuries and, yeah, kind of an inconsistent campaign has led to his exclusion here. When Spain were at the top of their game in their dynasty, the vast majority of their starting players came from Barcelona and Real Madrid. That's no longer the case. And in fact, there are no Real Madrid players included in the squad for the upcoming tournament. So I can't imagine that's happened very many times in Spain's history.
That is incredible. Yeah, I mean, not having Sergio Ramos there is kind of hard to imagine. He's kind of an embodiment of Spain. Let's move on to Poland, shall we?
We will. Poland, known as the Whites and Reds or the Eagles, which alludes to the emblem on their crest.
Okay, great. Let's give a little overview here. They participated in the 1938 World Cup, but then dropped out, joining again in 1958. And from that time, they participated consistently. They've been a part of every Euro Cup, though, from 1960. They had a really strong period from the mid-70s to early 80s. And otherwise had a smaller peak in the first decade of the millennium, around 2002. But since then, or arguably even during that period, they've been pretty unimpressive. But they may be in the midst of a third peak now, reaching the quarterfinals of the 2016 Euro Cup and also getting to the 2018 World Cup.
Yeah, and I'll just clarify, when you mentioned that they've been a part of every Euro Cup from 1960, that means they participated in qualification.
Sorry, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't always mean they've made it to the tournament.
In fact, they didn't make it to the tournament until recently, despite their World Cup success. And speaking of World Cup, we'll take a closer look at that. They withdrew from the 1934 World Cup, but they qualified and participated in 1938, where they lost their single game, just one game they had in that cup. It was a famous loss in a game where Poland scored late to equalize at 4-4, and then Brazil went on to win 6-5 in extra time. After that, they failed to qualify until 1974, but 1974 began a strong period where they reached 4 cups in a row, and not only passing the group stage every time, but going undefeated for the first 11 of the 12 group stage games that involves. So they advanced every time and finished third. They finished in third place two times in 1974 and 1982. But then they disappeared from 1990 until 2002, where they reached the cup twice in a row in 2002 and 2006. But they never got past the group stage that time, even though they kind of came in on good qualification runs, which we'll look at a bit later. It was exactly the same in 2018, a good qualification run, but not getting past the group stage. So in each of those group stages, they lost their first two games and won the last one. Interestingly, in 2002, they promised host South Korea that they would help them pass the group stage by beating the USA, and they delivered on that promise. So I was in South Korea during that tournament, and they felt pretty good towards the polls. In their qualifying history, they lost a playoff with the USSR in 1958 and were just a point short in 1970, which foreshadowed their strong qualifications for the next four cups, which they reached. In 1974, they advanced over England, knocking them out. Qualifying groups were fairly easy after that, but they were consistent, though less so in 1986. That's the last of their four successful campaigns, which gave some indication that their good period was coming to an end. After that, when they didn't qualify, they finished in the bottom half of the group, and far from qualifying, the worst was a fourth place finish in 1994, which was a peculiar campaign where they won their first five games and then lost their last five.
Wow.
Yeah. After qualifying in 2002 and 2006, they had their worst finish, fifth place in 2010. 2014 was poor, but they came back to form in 2018. And I think you're going to tell us a little more about those tournaments.
I will. Yeah, Poland qualified for the 2018 World Cup with a strong qualification campaign that saw them win 8 of 10 games and top a group ahead of Denmark. It was an especially fruitful campaign for Robert Lewandowski, who scored an amazing 16 goals across those 10 games to lead all players in goal scoring in World Cup qualifying. However, it was a disappointing tournament for Poland overall and for Lewandowski in particular, who failed to score. Poland lost to Senegal and then Colombia in their first two games. They beat Japan in their final match, which so nearly proved costly for Japan. Japan finished with an identical record with Senegal, and they were tied head-to-head, so Japan advanced on fair play points. So one of the advantages for Japan in their loss to Poland was that they didn't pick up more yellow cards, which could have seen them fall out.
Yeah, I really like that. I think that was a new thing in 2018, was it?
I believe so. Or if it was earlier, I don't think it had come into practice. But it kind of came down the list of head-to-head tiebreakers.
Yeah.
Criteria. Yeah.
Wow, certainly better than flipping a coin, which they sometimes did in the past.
Yeah, I agree. It's better to rely on something objective. So you got negative points for yellow cards and red cards, and that's how they tallied them up.
Yeah, let's take a look at the Europe qualifying campaign, and I'm glad you clarified that they weren't in every tournament. Far from it, they didn't actually qualify until 2008, despite their strong period in the 1970s. They came close to qualifying in the 70s, but they never managed to qualify for any cup until 2008. I'm kind of repeating myself there. However, it became three in a row after they hosted in 2012 and actually earned qualification in 2016. In the first two cases, they were knocked out at the group stage, earning nothing better than a draw. But Poland looked stronger in 2016, reaching the quarterfinal. Just to look at their qualification for these Cups, as in the World Cup, they finish in the bottom half of the table whenever they don't qualify. Their strong period in the 1970s only registers here as times where they finished in the top half of the table. And they came heartbreakingly close in two of these, 1976 and 1980. In both cases, they came second to the Netherlands, with just 1 or 2 points separating the top three teams. Italy was the third place team in 1976. 1984 was feeble, though, and they didn't do well after that. Their next good campaign was in 2000 when they finished in third behind second place England, tied on points with England there, but a worse goal difference. So 2000 and 2016 were very consistent campaigns for Poland, leading to qualification, but no qualification campaign was needed in 2012 when they hosted.
Yeah. Just to clarify, 2008 and 16 were their consistent campaigns where they qualified. Euro 2016 does mark their best performance at a Euros. They reached the quarterfinals. They finished joint group winners with Germany, whom they tied 0-0, and ahead of Ukraine and Northern Ireland. In the round of 16, they met Switzerland, and although they conceded an 82nd minute equalizer, they got through on penalties, scoring all five of their kicks to advance. In the next round, the quarterfinals, they met Portugal. Once again, they were tied 1-1 after extra time and penalties were needed. This time, though, Portugal were perfect from the spot, converting all five of their kicks, and Poland narrowly missed out on a semifinal appearance.
That's too bad. Let's take a look, just a kind of a summary. Their only Euro qualifications have been in the last three Cups, and as far as the trends go, it does kind of indicate a third period of strength, even if it is kind of inferior. Well, it's not kind of, it's definitely inferior to their strong World Cup period in the 70s and 80s. But while that period included strong World Cup campaigns, it didn't include any Euro appearances. So this one at least includes both of them. It should be noted they were kind of unlucky in some of their campaigns. They were grouped with weak teams, famously playing beyond themselves. So that includes Latvia in 2004, who surprisingly reached the Cup, and Slovenia, not a bad team, but they were playing above themselves in 2010.
Yeah, reaching the last three Cups and getting beyond the group stage in 2016, together with their 2018 World Cup qualification. Like you said, it has been a good period. It's been consistent where they're reaching the tournaments, not always going far, but at least they're qualifying on a regular basis.
Well, on that note, let's take a look at their qualification for this Cup. That is a pretty good record, with just a tie against Austria at home and a loss in Slovenia. Surprisingly, despite that strong record, winning 8 out of their 10 games and finishing the group 6 points above Austria, they fired their coach after that loss in Slovenia. That was their fifth game. And they, you know, coming off a World Cup qualification and a previous a good performance in Euro 2016, seems a bit rash to me to fire their coach after what they called a humiliating loss in Slovenia. And I think the coach was fired after the draw at home to Austria. But what do you think, Connor?
Seems an overreaction for sure. Like you said, this is kind of their third historically strong period. You know, they shouldn't be taking qualification for granted. They haven't been there all that often. So the fact that they qualified comfortably showed it was a blip and not really anything more than that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if there were behind the scenes kind of conflicts going on, but this is one of their strongest qualifying campaigns. And I'm curious to see whether that firing of their coach has affected their recent games since then.
Well, we'll take a look at it. And recent results haven't been spectacular. In Nations League play, in the most recent version, they finished behind Italy behind Italy and Netherlands, just ahead of Bosnia. And in World Cup 2022 play, they tied Hungary 3-3 on the road, but then beat Andorra at home and then lost to England, and currently stand fourth in the group behind Albania. So yeah, looking at those results, their only win in their last five games was against Andorra. So not really the type of form you want to be taking into a tournament.
It doesn't seem to have helped them. You know, you can't really blame them for losing to England, but it seems kind of a bad note to go into this cup with.
Yeah, we'll look at some of their goal scorers. And Robert Lewandowski led the way in qualifying. That's no surprise. He's just coming off a domestic season where he scored 41 goals in 34 games, breaking the Bundesliga record, a record that stood since the early 70s for most goals in a campaign. He has been pretty prolific for Poland as well. Like we said, scoring six in the Euro Cup qualifiers, and scoring three goals already in 2022 World Cup play.
Yeah, he certainly has done the job for Poland in their qualifying, but I've been dying to see him show his stuff at a tournament, and he always seems a bit of a letdown there.
Yeah, he failed to score at the World Cup. Yeah, I would agree. He's led the way in qualifying many times, not just for Poland, but including among all scorers. But that hasn't translated to goals at the tournament. So that's what will be demanded of him, and what will be required, you feel, for Poland to have any chance of moving on in this tournament.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at the 2022 scorers, and of course Lewandowski again at the top of the list.
Yeah, no surprise there. Everyone knows what he can do, but no one really has been able to shut him down. He is also the reigning men's FIFA World Player of the Year from 2020.
Yeah, I was teaching writing to a student. He and his dad were Polish. This was around the time of the last World Cup, I guess. And they were singing the praises of Poland. They're very loyal fans.
Well, for their sake, hopefully Poland can do well in this tournament.
Yeah, they'll be hoping so for sure. Shall we move on to Sweden?
Let's do it.
Okay. Tell us about their nickname.
They're just known as the Blue Yellow. There's a Swedish word for it, but I'm not going to try pronouncing it. But blue-yellow just refers to, of course, their flag and the color of their uniforms. They normally wear yellow, though, and that's how you'll pick out their fans from among the rest of them.
Great. Okay, well, that's a broad overview. They're a more senior team than many people would guess, actually. They missed only the first World Cup in 1930, and they also missed the first Euro Cup in 1960, but otherwise never failed to participate. Their best results in each competition both came through hosting. So it was second place in the 1958 World Cup and the semi-finals of the 1992 World Cup. They've Euro done well. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Euro Cup in 1992. Just to clarify.
What did I say?
World Cup.
Oh, my goodness. Forgive me. Yes, correct me. They have done well in World Cup history, actually, particularly in the early years where they reached the semifinals in three of the first five cups. And then they came second in 1958 when they hosted. That tournament saw them defeat defending champions West Germany in the semifinals, but they lost to Brazil in the final. An 18-year-old Pelé there scoring two of Brazil's five goals.
I wonder whatever happened to him.
I think, you know, they fall off the map. This actually 1958 World Cup is the only time a non-European side won a World Cup in Europe. So I'm thinking we were wrong at the beginning because Brazil have won two in a row. Third place in 1994 was by far Sweden's best result since that time. And they were knocked out of that by Brazil too, having tied them in the group stage. The quarterfinal game with Romania in 1994 was a highlight of the tournament, with both teams scoring late in regular time, then both scoring in extra time, and Sweden winning on penalties despite missing their first shot. Following that, they had two unremarkable round of 16 finishes in 2002 and 2006, and a quarterfinal finish in 2018. Before you give us more details on that recent tournament, I'll talk a little bit about qualifying. They've qualified for the World Cup about half the time. Their second place finish in 1958. After their second place finish in 1958, they failed to qualify for the next, falling to Switzerland in a playoff after they finished tied on points in the qualifying group. So they tied Switzerland in the qualifying group and then settled the tie with a further playoff game. Goal difference wasn't used at that time. And that was good for Switzerland, good for Sweden, since Switzerland had a vastly inferior, vastly better goal difference. Sorry, I'm losing my tongue here. Okay, let's move on to 1970, where they knocked France out of the cup. And in 1982, they finished third behind Scotland and Northern Ireland, the British ganging up on them a bit there. They were undefeated in 1990 qualification, Sweden finishing ahead of England, who advanced, and Poland, who did not. And that ended Poland's run of four World Cups in a row. So despite the good qualification, in 1990, they lost all of the games in the club, including one to Costa Rica. But in 1994, they knocked out France again and had a good cup. They have failed to qualify for twice in a row in 2010 and 2014, losing a playoff to Portugal in the latter. I think you'll tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, I'll focus on the 2018 World Cup. Like Poland, Sweden qualified for 2018 after missing out in 2010 and 2014. Sweden had a very difficult route to the 2018 World Cup. They were in a qualifying group with both France and the Netherlands, and Sweden finished ahead of Netherlands to secure second. This set up a playoff against Italy, which they won 1-0 on aggregate. A 61st-minute goal in the first leg, which they were at home for, was all it took to separate the teams.
I think you said last time that they pulled Italy's trick on them. Italy's own trick on them.
They hunkered down and defended after scoring that goal.
Uh-huh.
Sweden topped a very challenging group at the World Cup finals. They beat a stubborn South Korea team in their first match. Then were very unlucky to lose to a 95th-minute German free kick goal to Germany in their second match, but they recovered to beat Mexico 3-0 and advance as group winners. They beat Switzerland 1-0 in the round of 16 to advance to the quarterfinals for the first time for them since 1994. But in the quarterfinals, they succumbed to England, losing that match 2-0.
All right. I came to terms with that Swedish win over South Korea when my South Korea beat Germany. So I was okay. All right, well, let's take a look at the Euro Cup performance by Sweden. This is a bit more grim. They didn't succeed in qualifying until 1992, and then only as a host, tournament host. However, they did reach the semi-final that year in 1992, which was their best result in Euro competition. That was all the more impressive considering they faced France and England in the group stage and then Germany in the semi-final. You might wonder where the quarterfinals went. Actually, that was the last year of the tournament being just eight teams, so there was no quarterfinal. From 2000, an odd campaign that I'm going to detail a bit below, it was an odd qualifying campaign. From then, they've qualified consistently since, but they've only made it past the group stage once in 2004. That year, Italy accused Denmark and Sweden of colluding to knock them out of the group stage. And it actually may be true, but if it is, it was very risky for Switzerland to earn a draw on a goal at 89 because they would have been knocked out without that late goal. They lost on penalties to the Netherlands in the following game in 2004. It was a dull game until extra time when three shots hit the woodwork. Their three group stage exits since that time, since 2004, have been pretty unremarkable. Anything to add about their performances in cups, Connor?
No, just last time they were the only team, this being in 2016, not to advance from a group that contained Italy, Belgium, and the Republic of Ireland, three teams advancing out of four.
Right.
Their only goal of that tournament was actually an own goal by Kieran Clark of Ireland, obviously. And they lost 1-0 on late goals to both Italy and Belgium. So, yeah, pretty unremarkable, as you mentioned.
Right. And do you think they colluded with Denmark in 2004, or do you remember that?
I do remember it. They needed to tie 2-2. That would have been the result that favored both the Scandinavian teams. And that's the result it was. Like you said, it took a late goal. Though Sweden and Denmark are such rivals, I'm not sure if they put those aside. It was suspicious, perhaps, but I think some of the conspiracy has been fueled by resentful Italian fans and perhaps lost sight of the facts a little bit.
Yeah, hard to say. I'm going to go back to their qualifying campaigns here. There's an interesting story in there. They were quite poor, actually, in the early years of the Euro Cup, finishing third in their group four times in a row from 1968 to 80, especially in light of reaching three World Cups in a row during the 1970s. They were just a point behind Romania in 1984. Italy finished fourth in that case, but they finished second to Italy in 1998 after losing their last two games, having gone undefeated in the first six games. 1992 was their first Euro Cup, but they didn't go through qualification since they qualified as hosts. I said I would tell this story about their 2000 Euro Cup qualifications, which was odd in its parallels to their 1990 World Cup campaign. So in both of them, 1990 World Cup and 2000 Euro Cup, they finished first ahead of England, who was in second, and ahead of Poland, who was in third in both cases. In 2000, they were 9 points ahead, but less so in 1990. But to continue the parallelism, in both tournaments, in both qualifications, they were undefeated in the campaign. And this time they suffered only a single draw with England. And in both 1990 and 2000, they did terribly in the tournament after such a successful qualifying campaign. This time earning a single draw compared to three losses in 1990. So I'm thinking it would be an interesting thing to study to correlate success in qualifying campaigns to success in tournaments, because I don't think they correlate that well. For example, their qualification campaigns are solid from 2008, although performance in the Cup didn't match that. In 2016, though, they finished third and required a playoff win over Denmark to advance to the expanded tournament. And I think you took us through the recent campaign in 2016, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, so...
Comments to sum it up?
Yeah, just a bit of a summary. Their strength seems to come in waves. They did well in the 1930s. They had their best results in the 1950s. They qualified regularly during the 70s, although it was only for the World Cup. They had peaks in the early 90s and the mid-2000s. And they've been a bit flat since 2008, so they're due another good period. It seems to come, I don't know if you've noticed the pattern there, but they seem to rise and fall every 20 years. And perhaps that rise started with that quarterfinal finish in the 2018 World Cup. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll see. That's in a very interesting historical trend. And yeah, if it's every 20 years, then they are set for another good period. It is interesting to note that probably their most touted player, at least by himself, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, he didn't lead them to any success. And in fact, his period with the team spans a range of a week period for them. Sweden have really never been led by a star player. Their second top goal scorer in their history played from 1923 to 1932, so an extremely long time ago. So perhaps they function better as a group of non-stars. Improved results after Ibrahimovic's retirement does make you wonder whether his return... His glorious return, again, self-styled, whether that will help or hinder Sweden.
What do you think, Connor, about Ibrahimovic coming back after retirement?
It's an interesting one. I mean, you would think a player like that would make your team better, but it hasn't borne out for Sweden. So perhaps if they do achieve well in this tournament, it might be despite of Ibrahimovic rather than because of.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Well, he didn't take part in this in their 2020 Euro Cup qualifying campaign. They're qualifying for this tournament, and it was a bit of a kind of not a great campaign. They tied two games at home with Norway and with Spain, and they lost points to those two teams on the road too, tying Norway and losing to Spain, as everyone does in Spain. So that was good enough to get them into second place and an automatic advancement, but not as convincing as they would have liked, I'm sure.
Yeah, certainly against the better teams in that group.
Yeah, there was one game there. Sweden came back from a two-goal deficit against Norway. They scored at 70 and then 86 and 91 to go from 2-0 down to 3-2 up, only to see Norway equalize 7 minutes into injury time.
How galling.
All right, let's take a look at their recent record since that qualification campaign.
So yeah, in recent action, they came second in the 2018-19 UEFA Nations League B ahead of Russia and Turkey, so earned promotion to League A. But they didn't do that well. They finished last and got relegated again, finishing behind France, Portugal, and Croatia. In World Cup 2022 play, they won easy games, really, at home to Georgia and away to Kosovo, and stand second in the group, 1 point behind Spain, as we'd mentioned earlier, with a game in hand. But the top two have yet to meet each other in that group.
That's right. But they are in a position to take advantage of Spain, who did tie at home.
Yeah, we'll see if they can get anything in Spain. And we talked about their indomitable record, but Sweden might need something there to top the group.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at their scorers. Robin Quaison is their top scorer with 5 goals. Do you know much about him, Connor?
He plays in Germany with Mainz. He's never been a prolific scorer. He only scored 5 goals in the season that just passed. But he has 8 goals and 24 appearances for the national team. So a decent record for them.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is they haven't really had any. They're not a big name team. They're more of a team. I mean, I think Thomas Brolin was a big name in 1994, but I mean, Ibrahimovic, as far as the national team goes, he's not really a big name for them. He's more a force of nature at the club level.
Yeah, and we've talked about some other teams in previous podcasts about their strength being in their team and not in one individual player. And that may serve them well. It certainly seems to have in the past.
Let's see if there's any changes in 2022. Not many goals there.
No, just the 4 so far. I'll just mention Alexander Isak. He's 21 years old. He plays for Real Sociedad. He got 17 goals for Sociedad this season, so he could be a bit of an up-and-comer for the national team.
Yeah, I mean, despite being a solid team, they do need someone to put the ball in the net, and maybe that's why they took Ibrahimovic back. All right, well, anything to add on Sweden, or shall we move over to Slovakia?
Let's move over to the Falcons, Slovakia.
Okay. The Falcons, and is that a name we're going to hear often?
It's not one I've heard often. That said, they haven't always been a big name at tournaments, but it's not one I'm familiar with.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, well, let's do a brief overview before we take a look at their World Cup history. They are not, as most people think, a newly formed team out of the breakup of Czechoslovakia in 1992. They actually played 16 games as a team between 1939 and 1944, right during the wartime there. They reformed after the 1992 breakup of Czechoslovakia and played their first game in October of that year. Their first qualification was in the 1996 Euro Cup, but they have participated consistently in World and Euro Cups since then. However, they've reached each cup only once, but they did pass the group stage in both cases. We talked about Czechoslovakia in a previous podcast, but I'll just give a really brief overview here. Czechoslovakia is a team with a strong but intermittent record in soccer. Czechoslovakia was runner-up in 2 World Cup and quarter-finalists in 2 more. But from 1966, they qualified less than half the time, with 1990 being their only good year. Similarly, in the Euro Cup, they had 3 successful years, winning it in 1976, but beyond 1980, they didn't qualify. They can be said to share in Slovakia's strong history. I should say Slovakia can be said to share in Czechoslovakia's strong history, but it's really the Czech Republic who carried the mantle. However, Czech Republic and Slovakia have been fairly even since then. In fact, the two finished tied on points in their first World Cup campaign in 1998. Slovakia actually beat out the Czech Republic in 2010 qualifying. They finished first, while Czech Republic finished a disappointing third, having reached the cup in 2006. So, a bit disappointing for the Czech Republic there. Slovakia passed the group stage in 2010, beating Italy in the third match to knock them out. Then they went on to lose to the Netherlands in the round of 16. That impressive qualification for the 2010 World Cup followed a good result in 2006, where they did reach the UEFA playoff but lost to Spain. Before that, they had finished third in 2002, and in 2014, they finished third again. But that was a pretty weak showing, where they were fully 12 points behind the top two finishers, which were not great teams. It was Bosnia and Herzegovina, and second place was Greece. That was an easy group that they really should have advanced from. Their second place finish in 2018 was good, but tied with Scotland and 8 points behind first place England. They were the lowest among the second place finishers, so they were the only second place finisher not to get a playoff spot. So in summary, they finished first one time, second two times, third one time, and fourth one time over the last five campaigns. So it's a little bit difficult to put a finger on their general strength, Connor.
Yeah, I agree. Some inconsistent qualifying campaigns, marked with a few very good ones, like you said, making that 2010 World Cup. You kind of covered their recent history. So why don't we move on to their Euro Cup history?
Okay, sorry about that. I'm stealing your lines.
Not at all.
Okay, yes, it is a fairly short history compared to the other teams in this group. So third or fourth was the best they ever achieved in Euro qualification until a successful campaign in 2016. The opponents who finish ahead of them are respectable, even in their fourth place finish behind Ireland in 2008. But 2012, they finished fourth behind Armenia, which was a bit shameful. 2016 was a good response to that, a qualification which saw them holding first ahead of Spain for the first half, but then crumbling somewhat in the second half, which included a home loss to Belarus. In the tournament, they squeezed past the group stage in third place, and third place finish means that they get a tough opponent in the next round. They get a first place finisher from another group, and indeed it was Germany who put them to the sword in 2016, and I fear I have stolen your lines again.
Well, there's not much history, so you did kind of cover some of the recent stuff. Like you said, at the tournament in 2016, they scraped by in third place. They won one game, lost one game, and tied one game. They did tie England, though. That was an important 0-0 draw that gave them the point they needed to advance. In their qualifying for that 2016 tournament, they did finish behind Spain, but they beat Spain at home. So that may be something for them to draw on, given that they meet them here.
Yes, it was fairly recent, and they may feel a bit more confident going into the tournament because of that. And they can even trouble the best teams, but they almost never get the better of teams like Spain at the campaign level. They also suffer some inconsistencies against weak teams. I'm thinking of a loss to Azerbaijan in 2002. Okay, I'm not thinking of that loss. It's written down in front of me. And they tied Liechtenstein in 2006 and 2014. That's just off the top of my head, Connor.
Yes, Slovakia, really, they haven't shown that they can be consistent enough, certainly against the best teams, but consistent enough against the smaller teams. You know, which has impacted their qualification record.
Yeah, it does make me a bit worried about them in this tournament because they're facing very consistent or fairly consistent teams. Let's take a look at one example of that, their qualification for this tournament. And you can see it's kind of all over the place. Even at home, they weren't consistent. Losing to Croatia and then tying Wales. And then they lost to both teams on the road. So they finished in third. But wait, Connor, third place doesn't qualify you for the Euro Cup?
Not most years, but actually not this year either. However, they used the back door that we've talked about previously, which was a playoff based on the performance in the Nations League. So they made it to a four-team tournament. They first met Ireland, who they tied 0-0 with, but then beat in penalties, 4-2 in penalties. And then they met the other Irish team, Northern Ireland, in the final. Once again, they tied them 1-1, but they did beat them in extra time. They kind of saved their own skin because they scored an own goal in the 88th minute to put the game into extra time in the first place, which seemed to give Northern Ireland momentum, but Slovakia earned the spot in the Euros with an extra time goal after 110 minutes.
Sure, it's not bad enough that they beat us once, but they beat us twice.
Unbelievable.
How about their recent matches and performance in the Nations League?
Yeah, they performed well enough in the 2018-19 Nations League to earn that spot in the qualifying round for this tournament, which they were successful in. They were in League B in the Nations League for 2020/21, but they finished fourth behind Czech Republic, Scotland, and Israel. So that sees them relegated to League C. Their Nations League play overall, they've only won 2 games out of 10, so not a great record in that tournament. In World Cup 2022 play, they tied in Cyprus in their opener and then shamefully tied Malta at home. A really, really poor result there. They made up for it somewhat with a home win over Russia, and currently stand third in the group, a point behind Croatia and Russia, where really all three teams have been inconsistent. So despite the draws, they're somehow still in the mix.
Yeah, that's right. Well, losing at home to Malta really is something, or sorry, tying Malta at home really is something to consider firing your coach over, isn't it?
It is. But I don't believe they've done that. They've stuck with him going into this tournament.
All right, let's take a look at some of the players. Marek Hamsik, I think does he still have a mohawk? He's a bit distinctive looking because of his mohawk.
You know, I'm not sure. What I can say though is that he is their all-time caps leader with 126 appearances, and the all-time goal leader for Slovakia as well with 26 goals. He's best known, other than his mohawk, for his 12 years with Napoli. He had a short stint in China, but he actually now plays in Sweden for Göteborg.
Okay, those names are pretty familiar to me. I think they've been around for a while, though I'm not dead sure about that. Certainly, yeah. Robert Mack has been there for a while.
Yeah, Andre Duda, Kuchka. They have had some players. Vladimir Weiss is another one who've been around for a while, like you said. Some going back to their successful qualifying in 2010, I believe.
Yeah. So they could be, like a lot of these fourth seeded teams, kind of maybe lacking star power, but working well as a team, almost like a club team. Any comments on their 2022 scorers? I'm not familiar with Milan's Skriniar.
He's actually a central defender who scored 2 goals for them in qualifying for the 2022 World Cup. He just has come off a very good domestic campaign with Inter Milan, where he was a regular starter for them as Inter Milan won Serie A.
Interesting. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of the team by team analysis. And now maybe we'll go back and talk a little bit about the prospects for these teams. You want to start us off, Connor?
Sure. So, Spain are going to be the favorites. But as we've talked about, they're in a bit of a decline since their dynastic 3 cups in a row. Obviously, they couldn't be expected to keep up that form. But their performances haven't been that great. They seem to have returned to that quarterfinal ceiling, which you talked about, and perhaps even worse, not even always getting to the quarterfinals recently.
Yeah, but they do get past the group stage. I mean, 2014 was the only time they didn't. And honestly, that's more than can be said of Poland, Sweden, and Slovakia. Well, I mean, the consistency in qualifying and the consistency getting past the group stage, I still think they'll be the team to beat.
Absolutely. It's conceivable they could drop points, but as they have done, you know, in recent tournaments. But yeah, they should certainly get out of this group and should win it as well. Poland and Sweden, we talked about how close they are in world rankings. Do you see either of them competing for first place?
Not for first place, but I think it'll be a really good battle between them. I mean, they seem identical in so many respects.
Yeah, including some of their qualification records, which have mirrored each other in the World Cup, and they've both been consistent participants at the Euros as well.
Yeah, I mean, they've both qualified for the last three Cups. They have both basically been stopped at the group stage except for one recent tournament. Poland in 2018 and Sweden in 2016. Both of them have been a bit flat, maybe Sweden a little bit flatter since then. And then you looked at the rankings there. I mean, it's almost comical, just the 1 point difference between them. FIFA putting one team ahead, Poland ahead, and ELO putting Sweden slightly ahead. How about you? Do you see any difference between them?
Not really. If you had to point to one difference, it would be in Lewandowski, who is such a difference maker. He hasn't always performed or got the goals that are expected of him in finals tournaments. That said, having a player like that and that the season he's had, averaging more than a goal a game for his club team, you think should perhaps give Poland the slight edge, but it probably...
What are you talking about? How can Zlatan Ibrahimovic not be the equal of Robert Lewandowski?
Well, it depends who you talk to. And if you talk to Ibrahimovic, you know, he'll put himself in a class of his own. But the fact is, he hasn't performed well for Sweden, and Sweden haven't performed well with him. I think between those two, it really comes down to the game between them. And with Lewandowski, I think being possibly the best striker in the whole group and one of the best in the tournament, I'm going to give Poland the edge.
I mean, not only that, but even though he hasn't really performed that well at tournaments, at least Poland is familiar with him playing on the team. Whereas I think I really worry Ibrahimovic can be very disruptive to Sweden, because surely a player like that just completely changes your style.
I agree, and it's interesting in that he didn't play in their qualifying campaign. So they're now trying to change their system and perhaps accommodate a player who hasn't been part of their recent run to the tournament.
Yeah, and they've never really been a team that functioned with a superstar. So I worry he could be a bit of a spanner in the works. How about Slovakia?
Yeah, we shouldn't neglect Slovakia, but I think they're in tough. Both Sweden and Poland are among the top 20 teams in the world. Slovakia, they weren't able to qualify directly for this tournament. It took the Nations League playoff to get here. Recent form hasn't been that consistent. They've dropped points to some weaker teams. They have had an impressive win over Spain, but that came at home, and home can be a big home field advantage can always be a big factor in qualifying campaigns. So I think, as impressive as it was, you have to take that with a bit of a grain of salt.
Yeah, I think, you know, that one win does show that they on a good day could potentially have a win over each of these teams. I can't see them having a campaign of beating or, you know, of really challenging these three teams. Did I interrupt you there?
No, I agree with that. I think they are good enough to get the odd win or at least the odd point. And that could really have a disruptive effect if they do get a point off someone. including having an impact on whether the third place team will advance, because only four of six third place finishers will. So they could have an impact on this group, but I do see them a bit out of their depth against some teams that have been here in this tournament more recently and had done well. I do see Slovakia as fourth and be surprised if they finish anything other than last place.
Yeah, me too. A couple of stolen points could result in the third place team not going through. I would say at Slovakia's best, they could be competitive with these teams, but they haven't been at their best for quite a while. They're in League C now. I actually came into this discussion pipping Sweden ahead of Poland, but we've talked about a couple of things that have made me kind of reverse my decision, and I'm thinking Poland. But just in case you haven't made it clear, give it to me straight now, Connor. What is your prediction for this group?
Well, it is splitting hair between Sweden and Poland, and I'm not confident, but I am going to say Spain first, Poland second, Sweden third, and Slovakia fourth. Do you agree with me?
You have persuaded me. I think I came in with Sweden and Poland reversed there, but either way, it's going to be really close. That's a good battle, the thing to watch out for in this group. Okay, right. Well, I'm out of things to say. How about you, Connor?
I'm satisfied we have covered Group E. One more group left, and I will see you next time.
You betcha, Connor. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.